Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
So I wandered over to the food and wine Birds of a Feather session, and I found someone who's willing to talk to me about food. She's a chef, and she likes technology for how it can get information out about food, but not necessarily loves technology first. So tell me a little bit about your experience here at Blog Her and how you use technology to get the word out about your food.
Well, let's see. I have a blog called Egg Beater, Cooking, Baking, and Nifty Photos. And
cool name.
Thank you. I wanted something. When people know me and think about me, they know that I'm a little bit old school. And so I have sometimes referred to myself as a Luddite. And for the people who might not know, the Luddites were people at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution who did things like blow up machinery because they didn't really want, you know, things to progress in that way. And so I didn't have a computer until very recently. So the fact that I'm blogging about food is, for many, many reasons, sort of humorous, basically. So I wanted a name for my blog. I call it the old school tool because it's, you know, it's an egg beater. And who really uses an egg beater anymore? We all have KitchenAids and everything runs by electricity. And so to be blogging, sort of what a concept, because in my own industry, chefs never use a computer. They are just barely starting to use computers. In fact, when you send your resume in to get a job as a chef, they can't even open an attachment. It's really, people have a very basic understanding of computers. So this has all been a brand new experience. I've learned how to write HTML. I've learned a little bit about code. I've learned how to create graphics. You know, all these things are completely new. And I feel like in my own world, because so many chefs and cooks are illiterate in computers, we don't have a way to connect with each other. And I've really started to see blogging is a way that your voice, whomever you are, wherever you are, can be heard by whomever else has a computer or access to a computer. So it's this way, you know, you're a voice that might not work for the New York Times or the World Global Market, but you know that you have something to say, that even if only 100 people are interested in listening, those 100 people will never be able to hear you unless you called them on the telephone. So for me, blogging has created an immeasurable difference. You know, my own industry is very, very competitive, very fierce. Not everyone is always incredibly nice. But the food blogging community has been almost opposite of that. You know, I'll put something up on the site. Someone will write to me, oh, it looks like there's some code problem. Here, let me help you fix it. Oh, your photography needs some white balance. Here, let me help you. That would almost never happen in the chef community, unless you're a man, because the cooking world is primarily men, and so there's a huge male network, but there's no female network, you know, there's barely any. And so blogging is this way to tell people about my industry, because unless you're in my industry, you generally don't know about it, because it's sort of strange. And people are really hungry to know what goes on behind the kitchen door. You know, everyone eats. We all eat. Whether we eat at a fast food restaurant or a fine dining restaurant, or we cook at home, or we shop at Whole Foods, or we shop at Costco, all those people are shopping for foodstuffs. They're all cooking foodstuffs. And how does it unite us, you know, because food is political and food is about class and it's about race and it's about where we come from and who we are. Did we learn how to cook with our grandmothers? Did we never learn how to cook? You know, are we female? Are we male? Are we transgendered? Who, you know, are we people of color who are coming into this country expected to cook their cuisine? They didn't cook their cuisine at home, but the kitchens are the jobs that they get most easily. You know, a lot of underserved people are undocumented people. So my blog has really you know, at first I thought, I don't have any idea what I'm going to write about. I know a lot about fruit, so I started writing about fruit, and it sort of just blossomed. There are places where I get very personal. I've just sort of experimented. I've put up my own poetry. I've gotten a lot of feedback. So, you know, you have readers. I have friends in Spain and Indonesia and Guam who, there's a chance I might never meet them, but I would do anything for them. I would offer them suggestions. I would support them during a crisis. And, you know, there's a way that that can seem sort of corny. Like, how could that really be? It's false. You know, there's a lot of people going on the internet pretending to be someone else. There's a lot of weird kind of vultures out there. But my own experience is almost 100% of the time people have been really interested in what I have to say. And I have a little bit of a stronger voice than most food bloggers because I am a professional chef. Most food bloggers love food, which is great. But for those of us who are professionals, we are incredibly isolated from each other, and blogging is a way for us to connect. Oh, don't work for this chef. He's really scary. Oh, work here because the pay is really good and the staff meal is really great. Oh, you know, this is a great place to work even if you have to commute, or this is a great kitchen for women, or, you know, this way of networking. I mean, you can't sort of avoid that word when you talk about the internet, and that networking is actually really important. You know, it's not just to get the next big deal or to give someone your business card, but really to, you know, this is an example. This woman started blogging about baking. She was a brand new baker. I could tell that she was a brand new baker from how she was talking, what she was talking about. And one day she blogged about a problem she was having with her hands because flour is actually really detrimental to your skin and for breathing and stuff. So I wrote her back a whole list of things, of all the things I've done with my hands over the years to keep them in somewhat performable shape. And that's an exchange that we never would have had without blogging, because she wouldn't have known that I existed and I wouldn't have known that she existed. But that's an experiential moment, because I know from baking flour is dangerous, and I know from baking this is what I have to do to keep my skin intact, or, you know, cooking is strewn with a myriad of injuries. People have back injuries, neck injuries, people get, you know, hip replacements, knee replacements. And if you want to stay in this industry until you're 40, 50 years old, you have to sort of know how to take care of yourself. So, you know, every industry has a way that it networks. It's either, you know, a convention like this, or huge, you know, if you work for Microsoft, you have an internal email account that reaches hundreds of thousands of people. But if you're in an industry which is non-communicative, you know, we're not going to be on the radio talking about our industry, blogging is this incredible tool. You know, and it's free. I mean, I don't use a free platform, but a lot of people use a free platform.
So just a few questions. I mean, I have like a ton going through my mind as you're talking. I guess the first one would be, for the chefs that you say that are not on the computer, how did you start, and what, where do they even go? And then how much time do you take out of your day? Because I hear that a lot from the people that are not technology savvy. Oh, I don't have the time to invest in starting a blog, even though it looks kind of interesting. And then overcoming that fear, that initial fear of having to take the time out to learn something new and explore a different side of your mind, because you're used to working with your hands and creative in that way, and now you have to stop and internalize everything and write it.
This is a great question. It's funny because when I came here, I knew that I was going to meet a lot of mommy bloggers. That's sort of the big thing. And a friend of mine who has two very young children, she said, how do they have the time? She's exhausted all the time. But the answer that I hear from a lot of people, and it's probably similar for me, is I've never been a TV watcher. I've never maybe in this last year, I've been going through some things, so TV has sort of helped me zone out, but I do the bulk of my reading now online. I'm still a print media person. I wouldn't be able to read the whole New York Times or the whole New Yorker online. I really like to have it in front of me. But I think that this is a cliche, and I know that, but you have time for things that are important. And let's say I put an hour into writing my blog, I get a gift that's four times as big from people's response or people asking me questions that I can answer. You know, a lot of chefs work in a vacuum. You know, we work in a kitchen. The diners never see us. Our families never see us. I teach a lot, and I teach privately, and I get a lot of people to come to my classes through my blog, and so these are, you know, theoretically complete strangers. And my feeling is I teach because I want people to be better at cooking and baking. I want people to be less afraid. I'd rather someone make a mediocre meal in their house than buy a mediocre meal outside of their house. And I know that not everybody has the time for that. I recently stayed with my friends, and they both have full-time jobs, careers, and two children that they want to be with as much as they can. And there's a lot of takeout, you know, there's a lot of, you eat leftovers, there's, you know, I mean, you can't, you know, who's Martha Stewart except Martha Stewart, right? Nobody. But I found that when I'm fully present and I'm writing something, either personal or I'm writing about baking or I'm putting up some incredible photographs that I've taken, you know, The only other way I could do that would be sort of to do a lot of footwork and get my pictures in galleries and, you know, get a book deal. But even a book deal, you know, it's not the same as blogging. I mean, this sounds so trite in a way, but blogging is for everybody. I mean, not everybody has a computer. I'm not here to assume that everybody has a computer. I didn't have a computer until very recently for monetary reasons, but the bulk of people who can access the web, the blogging is for them. And so, you know, how do you have the time? Well, how do you have the time for anything? How do you have the time for golfing or for having sex with your wife? Like, you know, it's what you make time for. It's what you decide to be present for. It's, you know, do you take 20 extra minutes to really saute those vegetables, or do you all throw it in the pan at the same time? It's how you make time. And recently I saw a blog by a woman who has a craft blog and a craft and knitting blog, and she had this list of all the blogs, and I'm not going to quote her exactly, but she said, these are the blogs that I look at in between feeding my child or in between the laundry and mowing the lawn. And I just thought, yeah, I mean, if you have your computer in your kitchen and you have access, it takes a few minutes. What does it really take? It's not this, you know, and maybe those are blogs that she just reads, and maybe her posts are super short, but she supports other people. Like, sometimes I don't have time to blog, like sit down and really write something. And so I search around the net and I see who's blogging about what. And I say, oh, check out, you know, so-and-so. He's writing about a really important thing in agriculture. Or go to, you know, this person because they're photographing and a really amazing thing. So blogging, you know, it's just like anything. Do you have time to read the paper? Maybe you read it on your early morning commute. Maybe you wake up a little bit early every Friday to go to the gym. These are all the things that we decide to make time for, so.
And another question for the baker, the novice baker. Did you email her directly and give her instruction, or were you public about it and linked to her blog so that everyone can know that information? And then how do you decide who you answer personally and who you link to professionally or through your blogging?
Well, in that instance where she was having trouble with her hands, I commented on her blog so that her readers as well as she could see it. It's very interesting, the concept of when do you write to someone directly? And 9 out of 10 times when someone writes to me directly, if they ask me a question, I ask them permission, either for themselves to do it or for me to go back and do it and put their question on my site, because I say then there's the benefit of thousands of readers hearing your question, hearing my answer. The times when it gets personal and I will just email someone directly is when it is more personal. Like sometimes if you're correcting somebody, you don't want to do that on a comment because it can look like you're trying to humiliate them, because, you know, it's the difference between a professional. In my world, the way I was taught was professionally, if I have a problem with somebody, whether they're in my charge or they're above me, I wait for nobody to be around. I take them aside. I do it privately. Hey, I don't really like the way you talk to me. Or, hey, you really can't have that behavior in my kitchen anymore. But I don't humiliate them, because that doesn't, and some people will disagree with me, but my own experience is that someone knows that you took the time to address them privately and you didn't just fly off the handle in the moment, or you didn't, you know, just make sort of an ass of them. You know, you really, you respected yourself and you respected them enough. So there are some bloggers who are fairly new professional chefs and pastry chefs, and sometimes I've corrected something that they've put on their site. Like sometimes people put a recipe on their site that's actually very dangerous to make inside your home kitchen, but they post it thinking, oh, well, I make this at, you know, in my restaurant all the time. So sometimes I'll write to them and say, you know, this should really be tested in a home kitchen, because the blog is not addressed to just professionals. And I think that's probably true with, you know, it's like technology stuff. You can't just put all kinds of technology out there. You have to sometimes keep things close to the vest and test things. Well, you don't want everyone to be using this software. If you're creating a software, you pick those people. So it's sort of the same with blogging. As professional chefs, again, we don't realize we're part of a big global concept, especially when we do things on the internet. And that's how I was. I remember I had this comment last year. This woman asked me how to make something, and I said, oh, well, I'm teaching a class in that. Why don't you come to my class? And she said, well, my husband really wouldn't support that. It would be a trip from Japan. And I just thought, oh, right. You know, people are reading me. I don't know where people are coming from. I mean, I can look up their IP address, but if they've got it blocked or they work for a big company, you know, it will just say Indonesia, but I don't know where in Indonesia or who they are, male or female, old or young. So, you know, I that's a really interesting question, because we create community the same online. My own feeling is we create community the same way we do person to person. And people, a lot of my friends call me old fashioned, because I still sign my name, or I say dear sir or madam, because I feel like, you know, it's we have to be a little bit careful. The email and the internet have become a little bit tricky. The concept is I'm completely anonymous. Nobody knows who I am, and so I can just act any way I choose, completely inappropriate or very formal, or, you know, and we've all sort of learned over the years, and enough people have gotten fired about this to know you can't tell tone in an email. And so, you know, I've had some commenters who have been very harsh with me, where I've had to delete their comment and then write to them, you know, this is an inappropriate way to speak to me. Just so you know, there's an actual human being on the other side of the computer screen. So, you know, it's, this technology is extremely new, even though we're all sort of used to a lot of things. It's really important to remember, oh, right, there's a human being on the other side. That person has blood coursing through their veins and a heart just like me. You know, whether they know everything about code or nothing, they're a person using a computer as a vehicle for communication.
And so another question, you were talking about the stats and things like that. Do you keep an eye on that? Do you know how many readers that you have and where your readers come from, who refers you to them? And do you monetize your blog?
I do. I've started to keep much more close track of who comes, what day they come, what hour they come, how long they stay. I think it took, you know, I've been doing this for about a year and a half, and it took me a full year to get comfortable enough to even feel like I could make sense of that information when I got a hold of it. I sort of knew it was out there. In my own group of bloggers, people talk about their Google number, their score, these things. And, you know, it's somewhat important, but I have a very good friend in my community, and he always said to me, be patient. The traffic will come. You develop the content. The traffic will come. And, you know, of course, like, you get jealous of the person who has, you know, 10,000 hits a day when you have 1,000. But, you know, I know, too, you know, it's very interesting. My voice is very opinionated. It's very strong. I've been in the industry a long time. I'm one of the only women I know who's gotten to where I've gotten without culinary school education. And my blog is not for everybody. That's okay with me. I'm not for everybody. I don't have a million friends. I have my core group of friends. They know me. They understand me. They call me out if I'm, you know, being dreadful. But, you know, of course, I would love to have much more traffic, but there's a responsibility, too, that comes with that traffic. And, you know, I do something that my friends think is crazy. If a new person comes to my site, I personally thank them through email. And, you know, it's harder. It gets harder once you have more and more commenters. But I feel like that's a brave thing to do. I have far more readers than I have commenters. So I know that they're out there reading. And I think, you know, that's the best, you know, what you can't, you get what you get. You give what you give, you get what you get, you know. And in our little community in Northern California, the food blogging community is very tight and very close, and people are very supportive. And there's only a few people who are competitive about traffic, because we all know that by supporting each other, that's the best weapon. You know, there's no, it's not like I'm going to get more readers than her and then I'll show her. We don't have anything to prove. We're all saying stuff that links to each other. And, you know, I feel like that's some of the best, you sort of can't mimic that anywhere else, you know, because when you're in something that you're doing to make money, you're on a very different track than if you're doing something to create community just for the sake of community.
But you said you do monetize your blog. So how do you do that, if I may ask?
I use Typepad as my sort of way to blog. And then I recently started using StatCounter, it's okay, which is a free service. And I check it just about every day. And I think I do it because I sort of wanted to know who was out there. It's that concept of responsibility. You know, someone is taking the time to out of their day to come and read my blog. And, you know, when are they coming and what are they looking for? And, you know, I have posts that I did last year that people are still getting to via Google. So it's just, I'm not going to say that those readers define what I write about, but I think it's just like anything, you know, TV channels want to know who's looking at them, newspaper, you know, magazines, they all want to know who's buying them. And it's not for me so that I can commodify those readers. I'm not interested in sort of putting up ads that, you know, sell something. It's not about that. It's more, it was inquisitive. I just wanted to see.
Awesome. I don't know if I should ask this or not, but if we wanted to taste your food, where would we go? And if not, should we just go straight to your blog? And if so, just give us your name and URL one more time so that we can make sure that we get these delicious recipes.
Well, the best place to taste my food is probably on the site, unless you live in Northern California, where I teach classes, very, very specific classes. And I consult around the Bay Area, but I can't say where. So the best place to find me is eggbeater.typepad.shuna. And the way you spell my name is S-H-U-N-A.
Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.